I want to preach to you this morning for just a few minutes, or as long as my voice will hold out. John chapter 8, verse 44. If you'd like to be turning there, John chapter 8, verse 44. So good to see you in the Lord's house with us today. I know some, evidently, you didn't get the memo. John chapter 40, John chapter 8, verse 44 reads like this. For you, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'll read several scriptures today at different times, and I'm using that translation, but they will be putting up the King James Version for us. So it may read a little bit different, but don't panic. For you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things the devil does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. Well, that explains a lot of why we're hearing so many lies out of Washington, isn't it? They can't help it. It's consistent with their character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Father, I appreciate this morning the opportunity that I have once again to stand in your presence and minister your word to your people. Thank you. God, I just pray for a special touch of anointing on their hearts and on their ears that they hear only those things that you would have them to receive. Guard them this morning, Father, I pray, from anything that would be false or untrue. I pray for a special touch of healing and strength in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Granted, Jesus.
And I apologize, I may have to hit the bottle a time or two. Ricky Van Shelton. Most of you have no idea who Ricky Van Shelton is. One of my favorite singers. Recorded a song a few years ago that was entitled, Somebody Lied. And it became a huge hit for him, mainly because most people can relate to that. Because I feel safe to say that every one of us have been lied to by somebody at some time or another. And it's even quite possible that we were the ones doing the lying at some time or another. Somebody lied. And you have been lied to today. There are a few things in this life that I have a hard time tolerating. I'm intolerant. I do not deal well with lazy. And by lazy, I mean what the dictionary says, unwilling to work or use any energy. All of us know lazy people. How do you feel about that? They have their hand out. They want something for nothing. You've seen the commercials that TurboTax has put out. Crazy commercials. Free. Free, 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 free. You've seen the dog show where they're judging the dogs. Free, free, free. You've seen that guy a little lag in his loafers with his pink t-shirt on doing his exercises. Free, free. want something free.
Yeah.
And we now have an administration who is doing their best to do that.
Exactly.
My wife told me to leave them alone, so I'll leave them alone. But I don't deal well with lazy. I have a hard time dealing with stupid. And by stupid, I mean what the dictionary means, behavior that shows a lack of common sense or judgment.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about ignorance.
Yeah.
I am ignorant about a lot of things. Ignorant just simply means lacking in knowledge or an awareness of a certain subject. I am ignorant mechanically. You don't call me to fix your car. I got one tool in my toolbox for working on cars, and it's called a hammer. If I don't fix it, Brother Paul, it cannot be fixed. I'm ignorant. But I don't handle stupid very well. But the one thing that I absolutely have no patience for at all is lying. And lying has become the American way of life. People think nothing of looking you right in the face and lying to you. See, that's why you don't need to get upset when you hear the president or the vice president or the speaker of the House or the House majority leader, because there's no truth in them. I'm telling you today, somebody lied, and you've been lied to, and you need to be outraged. Yeah, this will get spiritual at the bar. I heard Robert Parsley make a statement a few years ago, and it really bothered me at the time, because I thought he was being a little bit harsh. Because he said this, and I quote, "The devil is lying well, and the church is telling the truth poorly."
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, that bothered me when I first heard him say that.
Yeah.
But I've thought about that over the years, and now I'm in agreement with that, because that's the only way you can explain why Satan has more followers than Jesus does. Because he's been telling the lie well.
Mm-hmm.
And the church has been telling the truth poorly.
Yeah.
7.5 billion people in the world today, and only 31% of the 7.5 billion calls themselves Christians. Well, does that mean that other bunch is devil worshipers? No, but I'm telling you, they're the father of the devil, because there's not a whole bunch of choices that you have out there. It's either God the Father or Satan.
Right. Only two.
Oh, I got to get on here. Listen, Satan will come to you and he'll tell you you cannot, and before long you're saying the very same thing Satan said. I can't. I can't. Even though the Word of God says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the devil says I can't. And I believe that lie. And before long, I'm saying I can't. Now listen to me. Let me throw something here at you. I'm not talking about an area of ministry where you're not qualified. That's different than I can't. Listen, if you don't like kids, you have no business working in the nursery. Or in children's church, or with the youth. If you can't carry a tune, you have no business singing in the choir. Don't even look at Cammy like you want to sing. She'll tell you what she told me. And you don't need to know what she told me, but I ain't got over it yet. If you don't know the difference between John the Revelator and John the Baptist, don't go to pastor and tell him you want to teach a class. That doesn't mean you can't. God has something special for you that only you can do, and you just need to find your place and say, I can.
Yeah. Amen.
53 years ago today, April the 25th, 1968, I preached my first sermon. When I got through, I headed back to campus. I was still in college, 18 years old. Headed back to the dormitory, and before I got back to my dorm room, Satan and a whole bunch of his supporters had come to me and told me, Miller, you can't do that. Well, 53 years and thousands of sermons later, Satan's still telling me that, and he's got a whole bunch of other people supporting him now telling me the same thing. Miller, you can't do that. You can't preach, but I'm still doing it. Probably shouldn't be, but I am. Quit saying I can't. Start saying I can. Satan comes to you and says you're going to fail. There's no way you're going to make it this time. Even though the Word of God says in Romans 8 and 31, I am more than a conqueror through Christ that loves me.
Amen.
And gave himself for me. Well, you know you're going to die. You can't live through this. COVID's going to get you for sure. And if it don't, the shot will. So they say. And yet the Word of God says in Psalms 118:17, I shall not die, but live.
Yeah.
And declare the wonderful words of the Lord. Well, you ain't never going to get out of being depressed. You just a loser from the get-go. Everything you put your hand to do or tried to do, you failed at it. So you might as well just give it up. Quit fooling people. You're depressed. You're discouraged. That's where you're going to stay. Forget it. Even though the Word of God says in Psalms 34:17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of trouble.
Yeah.
The Lord is nigh unto them that are brokenhearted and save such as be of a crushed spirit. Stop believing the lie.
Amen.
Introduction's over. Now I want to get to my points. My wife told me, you need to preach more like Aaron. He just gets up, says what has to be said, and quits. And then I told him this morning, yeah, well, you ruined that last Sunday morning. I want to show you just three things, and I won't spend a long time on them, I promise. Lies that people are being told, and they're swallowing it hook, line, and sinker, as the old saying goes. Lie number one. Sin doesn't matter. What's the big deal? Everybody's doing it.
Come
on.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't make a difference.
Yeah.
Who cares? That's just what some preacher said. It just doesn't matter. Dr. Carl Menninger is a great man. He's dead now, but he was a great, great man. He was a psychiatrist, founded the Menninger Clinic, and has helped thousands, tens of thousands of people. But he was also a very godly man. And he wrote a book entitled, What Became of Sin? And let me quote a couple of sentences from there. He said, sin has become a dirty word, used as a scapegoat for most mental problems. Instead of outlawing sin, we have inlawed it. We are accepting it in enormous doses. The only thing we've done is change the name. The publisher wrote this about that book. He said that book is, and I'm quoting, more relevant today than it was when it was published in 1973. Dr. Miniger warned that society had traded the reality of sin for the concept of crime. It traded the concept of crime for disease. And traded the concept of disease for social responsibility. When everybody is responsible, nobody is responsible. Adding to the snowball effect of the disappearance of sin is the wholesale attempt to define deviancy downward, coupled with the sinister theological philosophy called liberation theology. And I'll explain that to you in just a moment. Derived from Marxist polemic, removing individual responsibility totally, claiming collective salvation and social justice. We know it as socialism, totally at odds with the scriptures.
Yes. That's right.
Have you heard of collective salvation? Your former President Obama used it in one of his speeches on July 6, 2010. When he said this, and I quote him, "My individual salvation is not going to come about without the collective salvation for this country." Collective salvation means I can't get saved unless you get saved. We all have to get saved or nobody's saved. And that is one of the foremost doctrines being taught today. Jesus, and I've finished this quote, Jesus did not preach collective salvation and did not remove the responsibility from any of us for overcoming or qualifying for his kingdom. In answer to Dr. Miniger's pointed question, what became of sin, we sadly report that it has actually increased. Yeah. But now we call it normal. Yeah. Mm. Even though we as a society have pretended it does not exist, it still pays the same wages as it did when we recognized its existence. End of quote. Listen to me. Satan started this business when he told the lie to Eve in the Garden of Eden. You are not going to die if you eat it from that tree. You're just going to get smart. And he has been lying to us ever since.
Exactly. Yeah.
Telling us that sin doesn't matter. But Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sins, it will surely die.
Yeah.
Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Psalms 34:21 says, those who hate righteousness shall be condemned. Proverbs 11:19 says, righteousness leads to life, but he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death.
Yeah.
Man calls it liberating. God calls it lawlessness.
Right.
You've been lied to.
Okay.
Yeah. Sin does matter.
Yes.
It'll steal your future. It'll steal your family. It'll steal your mind. It'll steal your relationships. And it will ultimately steal your life.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Liberation theology. Let me define that and then I'll go to the next one. And they're shorter. It came from the Marxist polemic. Karl Marx, of course, is one of the fathers of communism. That's where the liberation theology came from. It says this in their fundamental statement. The mission, they wrestle the power away from the oppressor and give to the downtrodden. Out of the liberation theology comes collective salvation, social justice, and the redistribution of wealth. Pope Benedict. Thank God for Pope Benedict. Referred to these as demonic. He said this, whenever politics tries to be redemptive, and is promising too much. Mr. President's answer to justify getting elected as president is to just give you more free money.
Come on.
And it's working. When Pope Benedict, where it wishes to do the work of God, it becomes not divine, but demonic. The politicians, and I could call off their names and you would know every one of them, they're all in the same bucket. They look at Matthew chapter 25, where they have the story of the virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. Liberation theology says, you got to take the oil away from the 5 wise and share it with the 5 foolish. And that way neither group will have enough when the bridegroom comes.
Right. Come on.
They look at the man that was given the 10 talents and they say he has to share his 10 talents with the man who buried his. Because the man with the 10 oppressed and got his unjustly at the expense of the poor and downtrodden. That way wealth is distributed equally. 1963, Dobie Gray. I know I'm jerking these guys' names out here and you saints have no idea who I'm talking about. 1963. Recorded a number one hit. I'm in the in crowd. I go where the in crowd goes. I do what the in crowd does. I mean, people want to be in.
Yeah.
My wife and my girls, their whole lives, Brother Paul, tried to dress me so I would be in. My wife this morning said, "You wore that?" I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna wear that. I look good." When I was in college, they made me take a class on dress for success. Y'all ever had that? Take that class? That's a waste of time. They said, you know, the clothes make the man. Well, probably, Pastor, for most men that'd be true. But for men like me and you, we make the clothes. Me and Pastor can make overalls look good. And Brother John. But everybody wants to be in.
Yeah.
That's why you ladies have got 2 or 3 closets full of clothes, but you ain't got nothing to wear. Because that ain't in. Oh, Jesus. Let me get on with this and quit messing. Listen to this. Exodus chapter 23, verse 1 and 2. And I'm reading this from the Amplified. Talking about wanting to be a part of the in crowd. You just want to be accepted. You just want to be with it. You shall not give a false report. You shall not join hands with the wicked to be a malicious witness, promoting wrong and violence. You shall not follow a crowd to do something evil, nor shall you testify at a trial or in a dispute so as to side with a crowd in order to pervert justice. That's what the in crowd does. We have no business. Sin is in. But it don't have to be in us.
Right.
Number 2. Second lie. And I won't spend nearly as much time. Second big lie. Church is not important.
Come on.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a crutch. It's not a big deal if you don't go to church. COVID has become the excuse, not the reason, that people have quit coming to church. Church is for the simple-minded, for the uneducated, for the weak, for the disabled, for the poor, people that can't figure things out for themselves. Mm-hmm. You've got to have church.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you're just as good as anybody that goes to church. You're probably better than some of us. That's a lie. Church is important.
Yes, it is.
God ordained church from the very beginning. Church preserves the faith of our fathers.
Yes.
Church proclaims the truth of the gospel. Church provides a family of faith that love and care about each other.
Amen.
You're not going to find the world caring about you. It's every man for himself. If that ever becomes the church's philosophy, I'm out of here. Jesus came from heaven for the church. Jesus lived and died for the church. Jesus rose again for the church. Jesus is coming back pretty soon for the church. You know, I really don't think people hate the church. They just believe it's not important in their lives. That's a lie. Now I understand. Please, I look stupid, but I'm not. Stupid is stupidness. That's what Mama always said. I know there's times you can't go to church. I know sometimes you're sick. I know sometimes unexpected things happen. I know circumstances sometimes keep you from going. I know sometimes when you're off on vacation, you don't hunt up a church. That doesn't mean you're lost. That's all right. But don't ever get to the place where you think church is not important and you can do just as good not ever going as you can going. You need the church.
Good.
It's a weekly family reunion where we can get together and encourage one another.
Yes, sir.
It's a classroom where we can learn the Word of God. Amen. It's a memorial service where we remember what the Lord has done for us. It's a courtroom where the Holy Spirit examines our lives.
Yeah.
It's a music hall where we sing praises to our God.
Yeah.
It's a fellowship of the flawed who meet for forgiveness. It's a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Praise God.
And it is you've been lied to. If you've been told church is just not important and you don't need it. Lastly, maybe this is the biggest lie of all. You got plenty of time. Don't worry about God. Don't worry about the church. Don't worry about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There is plenty of time for you to get things straightened out with God. That is a lie.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, I married the most beautiful girl in the state of Indiana. This coming August, it'll be 51 years. Where in the world did those 50 years go? A few weeks ago, I was holding my oldest daughter in my arms, feeding her a bottle and rocking her to sleep. This past Tuesday, her daughter, with her two daughters, my granddaughter and two grandchildren were at my house, and I was holding my great-granddaughter in my arms, rocking her to sleep. Where did that go? Teresa, I remember when I was your pastor, you had three little old kids underneath your feet. Now they're all grown and grown. They're something. And got families of their own. That's been over 20 years ago. How'd that happen? Sister Diana, you used to have two little wonder boys in your way constantly. And living with a man with a lot of hair. Now look at him. Are you getting one? Look around at yourself. Look in the mirror.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Just a few days ago, I was footloose and fancy free. I was climbing trees, playing ball, and chasing girls. Today I'm old and bald and barely walk across the floor. Can't chase nothing but a biscuit across the table. Listen to me. I went to bed a young man. I got up an old man. It's a lie. You don't have plenty of time. Just a few days ago, I was sitting back there like these good-looking guys. Man, that was in the 60s. I had the hippie hair. I'd be looking good. That's been 60 years ago.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like Chris, it was yesterday. Where's them two little baby girls of yours that you rocked and put to sleep? You do not have plenty. You need to get your mind made up and quit messing around and determine that you're going to live for God, that you're going to do the very best you can not to live in sin, that you're going to love the church, and that you're going to be faithful to those things that God called you to do. Listen to this, and then I'm quitting. Those of you that think you got plenty of time, just take a stroll through the cemetery and you'll learn real quick. You just don't. That's not your decision. That's not your choice. Thursday night, a good friend of ours passed away. He was at the hospital. He was sitting in the bed. He was talking to his family. His family said, "We're going to go down and get something to eat." And he said, "Yeah, y'all going down and get something to eat." And they said, "We'll be right back." The nurse was in the room with him when his family left. The nurse told his family, he laid down on the bed, put his arm up like that, like he was reaching up to take a hold of something, and was gone. He did. He reached up and took a hold of something.
Yeah.
A good God with him. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17 says this, "Come now and pay attention to this, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and carry on our business and make a profit. Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen in your life tomorrow. What is secure in your life?" That's a question. "You are merely a vapor, like a puff of smoke or a wisp of steam from a cooking pot that is visible for a little while and then vanishes into thin air. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and we will do this or that. But as it is, you boast vainly in your pretensions and arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him, it is sin." The truth is, one day, tomorrow, will not come. I read a poll this morning that said 500 teenagers in America, 3,000 teenagers worldwide die every day just from hunger, starve to death. That doesn't include the accidents or the murders or the suicides. That's over a million kids a year.
Yeah.
Adults is 164,000 a day. die. That's 60 million a year. You don't have plenty of time.
That's right.
2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, and this is it. This is the end of it, of the sermon. For he says, at the acceptable time, the time of grace, and we're living in the dispensation of grace, and this is the last dispensation. This is the last one. There won't be another dispensation after this one. I listened to you and I helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Stand with me. You've been lied to. Stop believing the lies. Start believing the Lord. Trust God. He'll tell you the truth. He talks about the Spirit of truth. He'll give you all the grace you need for every situation in your life. He'll help you fulfill your destiny. He'll forgive every sin you've ever committed.
Yes.
He'll help you even love the church and the pastor. Amen. And be an active part in it. Amen. In the area where you're qualified to work.
Yeah.
He'll keep you prepared for eternity. Your Bible says you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free.
Right.
The only thing that will set you free is the truth.
Yes, sir.
The truth. What is truth? Jesus said, I am the truth.
Yes, sir.
You've been lied to. Somebody lied. Jesus never lies. God, the Bible said, is not a man that he should lie. So if somebody's lying, it's got to be the devil. As soon as the devil starts telling me, Brad, I can't, I know good and well I can because he's a liar and the truth is not in me.
Right.
It's about for just a moment.